your arms as they. Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today on this Wednesday. You are tuning in to WGOD. You're tuning into God's frequency today. God is broadcasting today. You're going to hear a word from Him through His man, the Apostle Paul. It's going to be astounding as we listen to this sermon at the things that Paul hoped and prayed that he would arrive at or attain to. He hoped and prayed that perhaps somehow he might know him, and that somehow he might attain to the resurrection from the dead. Man, oh man, those things are lost on us today. This man strove for those things. He must have remembered the words of the Lord Jesus when they asked him, "Lord, are there few who will be saved?" He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. He told them to strive. Strive. Greek word agonizo. Same word used of the Lord Jesus as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane and sweat as it was, great drops of blood. He agonized in prayer. That is the mindset the Lord Jesus said we ought to have when he said, strive to enter in through the narrow gate. For many will try to get in and will not be able. Maybe that's why the Apostle Paul said he made it his aim to be found in him, to not have in his own righteousness through keeping rules, that is trying to obey rules in order to be right with God. The only way to be right with God is to have his righteousness. And that is to receive his son. That's where we're at here today. This is part two of this message. If you'd like to hear it in its entirety, you can watch the video by going to Island Community Church YouTube channel. If you're a Facebook kind of person, that video is uploaded on Facebook as well. All for Christ is its title. Or the audio, you can either download it from islandcommunitychurch.net. Or if you are an Apple kind of person, you can subscribe to the podcast, the WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. Okay, for my last 30 seconds here today, I invite you to church tonight. We're in Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at the conversion of Saul into Paul when he ran into the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. We're going to roll out the dry erase board, go through it verse by verse. We'd love to see you. If you're tuned in at 5:30 here this afternoon, you will still have time to come to our Bible study here tonight, 6 o'clock, Acts chapter 9. We'd love to see you. Let's hear the rest of this message now, all for Christ.
Now the dogs were not a hungry pack of French poodles terrorizing the countryside like Cujo or something. This Pharisee is about to call his fellow Jews the worst possible insult you could. Verse 2, it says, beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. I'm reading out of the New American Standard for a reason. Now, he's going to make a joke in Greek, but it's lost in the translation into English. A joke or a rhyme, really, it's a play on words. Again, which is why I use this New American Standard. He says to them, beware of the catatome, because we are the peritome. So the New American Standard says, beware of the false circumcision, for we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and we put no confidence in the flesh. So we are the true circumcision who, number one, we worship God in the Spirit. Now remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers, that would be you, will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. John 4:24. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So the true circumcision, number one, we worship God in the spirit. Catch the connection. You and I are spirit beings. God is spirit as well. You have the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. This is how you can pray and not even open your mouth. I have a hard time praying now at night because I wear a snorkel on my nose. And my wife says good night. Sound like a seal. I can't even speak. But when I pray for God to keep the demons away from Pastor Darren at 3 a.m, I don't even need to open my mouth. I don't need to speak to pray because you are a spirit being and God is spirit. And the same spirit that stands before him dwells in you. Sometimes I don't want the devil to hear my prayers. He can't read my mind. He doesn't know what I'm praying if I don't open my mouth. Call me superstitious if you want, but I can pray without anyone hearing it. We worship God in the Spirit. Hello, Tim. Thanks to your launch, you shook the whole house. I thought the projector was going to fall off the screen. So there's Tim on his hitting the timer. So, the true circumcision. We worship God in the Spirit. Number two, we rejoice in Christ Jesus. As we've been looking at here this morning in this sermon, we are like the one leper who is now returned to give God glory. And number three, he said, we put absolutely no confidence in ourselves, in our flesh. Church, lest we forget, our flesh is not redeemed. It is good for nothing. Paul said, I know that in my flesh dwells no good thing. Sin has got a 99-year rent-free lease on the inside of you. That part of you that you still wrestle with, and it's not redeemed. Your flesh is not redeemed. Your spirit man is redeemed. There is nothing good that dwells in your flesh. So we put no confidence in ourselves. I keep thinking of what the Apostle Peter said. Matthew 26, the Lord Jesus said to him, all of you are going to be made to stumble because of me this night, because it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. So Peter answered and said to him, I don't care if everyone else here, even if all of you are made to stumble because of you, I will never stumble. That's what he said. Jesus said to him, assuredly, or in other words, Jesus said to him, you can bet your sweet bippy. Jesus looks at you in the eye and says, you can bet your sweet bippy, son, you are going to fall. That's what he said to Peter. Assuredly, I say to you, Greek word, amen. Hebrew word, amen. It means most solemnly, I swear, you are going to fall and deny me 3 times. Do you see how arrogant and prideful our flesh is? You think you're invincible, but you're not. And now, even after the Son of God tells him a second time, Peter's confident flesh is on display for everyone to see. Jesus says, I guarantee you are going to fall and you are going to betray me. Verse 35, Peter answers. He said, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. This is why the Apostle Paul warns you in this church Don't put any confidence in yourself. Don't do it. Don't go there. Don't drink that. Don't watch that. Don't watch that show. Don't do it. Oh, you don't know. I can do that. I've been delivered from that. I would never sin like that. You see, when you hear Peter in the background, don't you hear him? I'd never do that. I'm strong there now. I would never. Don't go down there. It sounds just like the Apostle Peter. I would never. I don't care if all of you other people do that, not me. I would never do that. I can go to this bar to minister to my friend. I would never do it. I've been delivered from that. I can watch this rated R movie. I don't struggle with that anymore. What's wrong with that? I put no confidence in the flesh. Your flesh is evil. It's not redeemed. When you're born again, your flesh is not redeemed. You are a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit is one with the Lord. Your flesh is evil. Your soul, you influence it by what you pump into it every day. Amen. You see, your flesh lies, cheats, and steals. Your flesh will betray you just like Peter's is no different. You are no different. Even the Apostle Paul said he was an evil, arrogant, insolent man who hated Christians. He hated the name of Jesus in the flesh until his spiritual eyes were open. And now the Apostle says, now that his eyes are open, we put no confidence in the flesh. Neither should you either. Then in verse 4 he says that if anyone has anything prideful to boast about, it would have been him, seeing his pedigree that he had. He goes on, that's verse 4. If anyone thinks he has confidence in the flesh, I do more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness, which is of the law, blameless. What he's saying to you is I kept every rule. And I still don't trust myself. Concerning the law, blameless. He did not step on any crack and break his mother's back. He walked like that. Walking that tightrope his whole life. Concerning the law, he was blameless. And he did all those things right, and he still was lost. As for keeping rules to be right with God, he was the best. He's given his testimony, how his flesh was good for nothing. All these things that he did in his life, they were meaningless. We're going to get to that here coming up. Like those people who say all the time, well, just keep the Ten Commandments and you'll be okay. You're a good person. Just obey the rules and you'll be fine. No, you won't. Put no confidence in the flesh. Keeping rules is going to get you nowhere. It's going to condemn you. How's that? Because the Bible says, God bless you. The Bible says, whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles at one point is guilty of all. You stand before God condemned. If you're going to keep rules in order to be right with him. He was blameless. Now, as we move on to verse 7, he's building off this saying, though I might have accomplished big things in my life with all these accomplishments, and I might have made a lot of money out here in this secular world or by my own bootstraps with no help or no handouts from anyone, on the surface or in the flesh, all those things were gain as man judges himself. But Jesus says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses or forfeits his own soul? The Lord Jesus said, fool, he said, tonight your soul's going to be required of you. Then who's going to own all these things that you have? He's just given his testimony that these things are meaningless compared to knowing him. Now, in verse 7, Paul's going to answer this question, that your flesh will reason with you, that your self-worth is dependent on what you've done and what you've accomplished out here in this world. He tried that. He said in verse 7, I'm in Philippians 3:7, he says, but what things were gained to me, that is my prestige, my family name, my money, my job, my trophies, my Heisman Trophy Award, all those touchdowns I threw at school, all of my accomplishments, all those things that were gained, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, verse 8, I count all things lost for... So he says, I count all things to be lost. All that former lifestyle, all that junk that we used to chase back in the day, all those things we used to indulge in, all my accolades, I count all things lost in exchange for... This is like returning an unwanted Christmas gift. You ever see those lines at the store on December 26th? You wait in line an hour. Well, here's Paul waiting in line with all of those things that he listed, all of these great things that he's done. He's going to exchange them for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And I count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ. Now, rubbish is the Greek word skubala, meaning dung. Today, you've learned your first swear word in Greek. He said, everything in this world is dung as compared to knowing the man in the glory. Everything is dung compared to knowing him. Having your name recorded in heaven. Nothing else compares. Nothing else, no matter what you've done, nothing compares to knowing him. In verse 9, he shows us where he wants to be found, both here in his everyday life, or if Jesus happens to come back first while he's still alive, which, by the way, Paul thought was going to happen in his lifetime. He didn't know because nobody knows. But he knew where he wanted to be found. Verse 9, it says, and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. All right, question. Where do you want to be found here on this Sunday morning? Say that again. Yes. In Christ. You read it all the time. People get found in the most sinful, terrible places when they die unexpectedly. Sometimes they get found with people they shouldn't be found with. But how about you? Where do you want to be found? Paul wanted to be found in him. Last week was Memorial Day. Look at how those brave men and women were found. In the end, they were found faithful. Again, the Apostle Paul wrote, and I had this verse on a blackboard in this church for many years. It said, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, verse 10. And the second thing he desired, which on the surface might seem odd for this man to make this comment, seeing that perhaps Paul knew Jesus better than anyone other than the 12. Verse 10, his hope and prayer was that I may know him. Paul's hope and prayer was that he may know him. You mean he didn't? But you do? You know, the older I get and the more I walk with him, sometimes I get this terrible, feeble, humble feeling that I really don't know him. I don't. I thought that I did. I think that I do. I make it my desire to draw close to him and to know him. God said to Isaiah the prophet, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," says the Lord. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." But I still desire to know him, even as I am known, as it says in the Bible. So also, besides knowing him, Paul wanted to know these two other things. He wanted to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if, it's verse 11, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Wow. I read this man's letters and all of a sudden I'm not so sure of myself. He wasn't, but you are. This man's been to the third heaven and he's hoping and praying if some possible way he might attain to the resurrection from the dead. Man, we take that for granted all the time. Here's someone that's been up there and his hope and prayer is that somehow, some way, he might make it there. Wow. I guess you could say strive to enter through the narrow gate wasn't lost on him, but it is on us. He hoped to be found in him. He hoped to know him. This from the man who's been to heaven and has seen him face to face. He hopes and prays somehow that he might know him. That Greek word there, gnosko, means to intimately know someone. Number three, he hoped not to have his own righteousness, which comes from keeping rules, but to have his righteousness, which comes from faith. Actually, it's not your faith in Christ. It's the faith of Christ. His faith in you. He hoped and prayed for this. Number four, he hoped to know God's resurrection power. Greek word dunamis, dynamite. Number five, he hoped to be counted worthy to suffer for his name. Hoped? After all he's been through, there's two chapters written about every evil thing that befell this man. He hoped to still choose to hope to be able to take part, koinonia, to share. He hoped to be able to possibly share in Christ's sufferings. And number six, he hoped to be conformed to Jesus' death. I found this great commentary on this passage. And then as Paul said, and then I close. Finally, my brethren, you're going to get out of here in 1 hour. Don't get used to it. Listen to this commentary. It says the most frequent treatment of this passage is to spiritualize it. By this is meant that sufferings, death, and resurrection are not to be taken literal. Rather, they are used to describe certain spiritual experiences, such as mental suffering, or dying to self, or living the resurrected life, etc., etc. However, we would like to suggest that this passage should be taken literally. And right on, I agree with this. Paul is saying he wants to live as Christ lived. Did Jesus suffer? Paul wants to suffer too. Did Jesus die? Then Paul wants to die by martyrdom in his service for Christ. Did Jesus rise from among the dead? Then Paul wishes to do the same. He didn't take for granted. He wished to do the same. He realized that a servant is not above his master. Thus, he desired to follow Christ in his sufferings, death, and resurrection. He does not say that all must adopt this view, but for him personally, there could be no other pathway. What a hero he is of the faith. Our last verse this morning, and the last thing that Paul hoped for, is verse 11. He said, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, church, if these things were important to him, let's you and I strive for the same this morning. I leave you with this verse, my ordination scripture when I was ordained 23 years ago. 1 Corinthians 11:1, the Apostle Paul speaking, not me, because I fall short of this. He said, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
From Loveworth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
It's cruel to say to people sometimes who are in sorrow, smile and be happy. That's cruel. People are not to be happy all the time. There's no way that people can paste a smile on their face, go around with a saccharine grin all the time. You're not expected to. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3, He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And yet, the Bible spoke of the joy of the Lord. The Bible says of the Lord that He was anointed with the oil of gladness above His fellows. It may be mockery for us to sing, I'm in right, out right, downright happy all the time. It'd probably be a downright lie. You see, this is a life of tragedy and sorrow and heartache and pain and pang and moan and groan and woe. Yet, in sorrow and heartache and difficulty, you can have joy. Happiness is an outside job. Joy is an inside job.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.